Dissolution of the state destroyed all of the outward symbols by which the religious and national life of the people had been regulated. Fortunately, Judaism was not dependent for existence on a sanctuary and sacrifices. The lifeblood of the nation was the law and the traditions which had grown up about it. The truest defenders of the faith were now not the desperate zealots who sacrificed themselves with sublime stupidity, but the scribes and sages who devoted their lives to teaching the masses the meaning of the ancient heritage. Such was Johanan ben Zakkai, who established an academy at Jabne at the very moment that the physical state was being destroyed. The light which smoldered out in Jerusalem was again rekindled, emphasis supplied. Nevertheless, an irreconcilable minority of Jews kept alive an opposition which no prosperity could smother. They remained quiet, so long as revolt seemed useless, but at the first sign of imperial weakness their hopes drove them to sedition. In AD 115 the Emperor Trajan was heavily involved in a military campaign against the still unconquered Parthians, and at the same time, was faced with a rebellion in other parts of the empire. Sacha continues, the Jews of Egypt, taking advantage of Roman difficulties, began to riot against their Roman and Greek enemies, and their disturbances grew into a formidable rebellion. This had hardly been suppressed when even more serious disturbances occurred in Cyrene and in Cyprus. The Roman historian Dio Cassius paints a sensational picture of the uprisings. The Jews wiped out nearly 500,000 people in both places, eating their flesh, besmearing themselves with their blood, sawing them asunder, feeding them to wild beasts. The account is the distorted version of a prejudiced historian, but evidently the Jews were in the grip of a wild and irresponsible fanaticism, which drenched Cyprus and Cyrene with blood. Trajan was compelled to send one of his ablest generals to cope with the fury of the Jews. The devastation was complete. When the last embers of the rebellion had been extinguished, it was necessary to rebuild Cyprus from its foundations. No Jew was thereafter permitted to set foot on the island. Trajan died in AD 117, and was succeeded by Hadrian, whom the Jews welcomed as a second Cyrus. Without malice toward the Jews or an understanding of the possible consequences, Hadrian issued two edicts, one to build a new city on the ruins of Jerusalem, to be called Aelia Capita Inner, and another to outlaw what he considered a barbaric practice, mutilation. He mistakenly included circumcision in that category. Sacha dramatically describes the reaction. Both edicts set the Jews afire, and they rose in their final rebellion against Rome, one of the most serious and protracted in Roman history. Led by the venerable Rabbi Akiba and a brilliant young warrior, Simon bar Kokhba, the might of Rome was forgotten. The Jews believed that this last stand against the Romans was like no other. It was the prelude to the establishment of God's kingdom on earth, and, to some of his followers, bar Kokhba was thought to be the Messiah. The amazing zeal of the aroused nation brought them unexpected success in the early months of the rebellion. They completely routed the Roman legions and cleared the country of the enemy. Hadrian was obliged to recall from Britain his best general Severus, to put down the revolt. In a lengthy campaign of attrition the rebels were finally isolated and destroyed. Both bar Kokhba and Akiba were executed. The Romans, who had suffered heavy casualties, and were in no mood for leniency, began a campaign of extermination which finally ended the tragedy. Sacha concludes his powerful theme, the Jewish casualties were much greater than attended the destruction of the state in AD 1970. It is not improbable that 500,000 lives were sacrificed in the hopeless cause. Those who escaped death were rushed to the slave markets of the East, or to the gladiatorial arenas of the chief cities of the West. On the site of the sanctuary, a temple was built in honor of Jupiter Capitolina. The very name of Judah was discarded, and the province which had given the Roman legions so much trouble was renamed Syria Palestine. Jews were forbidden on pain of death to ever set foot in Jerusalem. 22. This prohibition continued until Rome itself fell. It is a remarkable story. One can only speculate on the course of Jewish history, had the advice and pleas of the peacemakers, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Josephus, and, finally, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, been heeded, instead of those of the fanatical zealots or the power-hungry demagogues. Throughout the ages, who of these proved to be the true friends of the Jewish people? of this great drama, how much was rooted in faith, how much the consequences of folly? The eminent professor and Israeli historian Yehoshaphat Huckabee has pondered this matter, and has written a book entitled Facing Reality, in which he points out the remarkable parallel between Israel's situation today, and that which existed prior to the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans III. Professor Huckabee's views are summarized in an Associated Press report appearing in the Los Angeles Times, October 18, 1988 edition, from which the following is quoted: Israeli historian warns of peril in Masada's example Tel Aviv. An Israeli historian has ignited a controversy by arguing that a much heralded Jewish revolt against the Romans, far from being a glorious chapter in Jewish history, was self-destructive fanaticism and a bitter lesson for modern Israel. The revolt was followed by the mass suicide on Masada in AD 1973 and General Shimon bar Kokhba's rebellion nearly 60 years later. A small but articulate group of scholars, writers, and politicians has long contended that in the cold light of modern scrutiny the revolt was lunacy, rather than glorious. The debate has been lifted out of the realm of pure history, and plunged into the political battlefield, because Israel today faces many of the same themes that confronted the rebel against Rome 1,911 years ago, among them survival, liberty, and religion. Occurred at opportune time, the way a generation of school children have been told it, the Jews revolted because they considered the Roman occupation brutal and in contempt of Jewish religious sensibilities. After a glorious fight of the few Jews against the many Romans, the story goes, the rebellion was crushed, Jerusalem was sacked, and the last 1,000 defenders committed suicide atop the mountain fortress of Masada. But the rebellion smoldered on, and in AD 132 a Jewish general, Shimon bar Kokhba, captured Jerusalem and held it for 3 years, until the Romans vanquished his army, and sent the Jews into an exile that was to last until the rebirth of Israel in 1948. In his 107-page book, Facing Reality, Huckabee portrays the revolt as a disaster from start to finish, whipped up by rabble-rousing zealots blind to the realities of power in the Roman Empire. The result, he writes, was the destruction of Jerusalem and the slaughter of 500,000 of the 1.3 million Jews living there. The argument is not entirely new. But coming from Huckabee, an eminent scholar, former military intelligence chief and a pillar of the establishment, it caused a sensation among intellectuals. In an oblique, understated style, Huckabee suggests that his country may be treading the same dangerous waters as did the rebels against Rome. He discerns the same two camps today that existed in bar Kokhba's time, what he calls the realistic and sane camp and the blind euphoric unrealistic one. Huckabee does not deny that by blind and euphoric he is referring to Israel's present-day extreme nationalists who would annex the occupied West Bank of the Jordan River in defiance of world opinion. Parallels to modern times seen. Huckabee sees parallels between the Israelis, who minimize the weight of the superpowers, and the zealots who misread the might of Rome, who tell Jews to ignore the outside world and trust in God alone, who, after having annexed the West Bank and its million Arabs, would then lean back on the messianic dream of mass Jewish migration to Israel, to correct the demographic imbalance. He likens the euphoria that overcame Israel after the 1967 Six-Day War to the ecstasy of the zealots after their own early victories. The problem is not where bar Kokhba erred, Huckabee writes. The problem is how we came to worship his error, and how it affects our national thinking. But Amos Elon, a prominent writer and political commentator, says it is high time someone challenged the angels of death and destruction like bar Kokhba, who had become Israel's hallowed symbols of national renewal. In a spectacular play called The War of the Jews, leftist playwright Joshua Sobel portrays the zealots as bloodthirsty demagogues shot through with personal hatred and greed. To Sobel, as to Huckabee, the voice of sanity comes from Yochanan and Ben Zakkai, the rabbinical sage who opposed the revolt and made a separate peace with Rome in return for being allowed to go on teaching the Bible to his disciples. Israeli television entered the dispute by airing a debate called If I Were There, in which six politicians of various political bent were asked how they would have conducted the revolt. To the amazement of many, all but one said they would have surrendered rather than lead their people to their death. None of us has the right, morally or otherwise, to lead our people knowingly to its doom, one said. Moderator Israel Segel summed it up succinctly: the dilemma that faced